and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We are blessed and built up by the words of St. Paul the Apostle today, and if you'll turn to the lesson that we have at page 216 in the prayer book, from his epistle to the Ephesians, we hear his careful instruction to the church in Ephesus, and he's speaking to those who have converted to Christ. And I think we can see in this passage three levels of conversion. So the first one, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts." So they're not to walk as the other people are walking in that time, in that godless era. Because those people are already past feeling. They have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. And so they have come out of darkness into light. They are no longer like the other people of the world who are unenlightened and who are given over into the hardness of heart. If so be, you've heard of Christ and have been taught of him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so in the first type of conversion, a person would come out of the darkness and emptiness of a life that is given over unto sin and the deceits of the devil, and they would take off that old garment, the old man of sin, and then they'd be vested in this new garment of Christ, which is a life given to the purposes of love. They have made a commitment now to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. They are among those who get it, that the ultimate reality is God himself, his love. And that what we are supposed to be doing in this life is to love him and to love others. So they've already gotten that far. They've arrived in that place. And to illustrate this first type of conversion, we might think of a man who is on a business trip to a place where they have a lot of convention space, and that place would be Las Vegas, Nevada. So imagine a guy that's on his way there, and as he arrives, he's a committed Christian. He's already taken on the new garment of holiness, and he's living out the Christian life, and he is not interested in the things that would draw a lot of people to Las Vegas, right? He's not given over to the idolatry of quick riches. He's not worshiping mammon, so that really has no interest to him. He's not going to be one of the many that help pay the light bill in the casino. He's not given over to having any of his lusts fulfilled in Vegas, so sex trade doesn't interest him there. He doesn't have any nothing in that town really appeals to him that is the major draw for the people that are still in the vanity of their mind pursuing the things of the world, right? So the lusts of the flesh, those aren't appealing to him. He's already gotten past that point in his converted life where he gets it. He knows what life is for, is to worship God and him only and to love others. And so he goes on the business trip there. That's where the company decided they're going to meet. A lot of convention space there and so on, so he's on his way. Now when he arrives there, we see there may be another layer of conversion here. Let's look at that. So he's already put on himself the garment which according to God is created in righteousness and true holiness. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Now St. Paul is talking about what it's like to now live as a Christian. We have to be honest. We're telling the truth in love, and we are members one of another. We don't deceive our neighbor because we recognize them as a brother and sister. We're all in the same human family. We don't degrade the other person. "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." So here we can see "and let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth." So here we can see the man is already working hard on these things, right? His life is an open book. He's not deceiving people. He's not in the game to see if he can trick others and make a quick dollar off of their ignorance and stupidity. He's already, you know, helpful in the company for building it up. He's admired and respected for his contributions that he's made. And he's not somebody that is given over unto the, again, he's not there to make riches for himself, but he's already open-handed in his generosity. So God has given him the ability to come into a place where he is making wealth. He's also helping create wealth, and he's giving of his wealth. So he's a steward of God's resources, and God is giving to him that he can then give to others. He's already participating in that divine economy where things that are given to him, he then gives to others to build them up. He's already there. He's established in that. He's converted to that degree. And so we might see that as a second type of conversion of the soul. But now that they have come out of the world in blindness, they are now, eyes are open, they're now participating in God's redemptive work, making it happen for others, and he's in that place. So then there'd be a third level of conversion, and he is then to make sure that no corrupt communication comes out of his mouth, but instead that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we might see this now as a third type of conversion, that we would number ourselves among the saints, or number ourselves among the number of the saints, where no corrupt communication is coming out of our mouth, but that which is for edifying, building up others, and that there is no malice in us, that we are not given to tearing other people down or speaking words of blessing. And now the person is involved in the work of redemption, where they are really living the gospel. When people see them, it's like they met Christ. There was such holiness and goodness in this person that they've been touched. They remarked upon that. Wow, they've been in the presence of somebody who is saintly. And that is the third type of conversion. So imagine this man that's gone on to this convention. He's not interested in the idolatry of the world, so he bypasses most of the attractions and distractions in Vegas. He's gone to the company meetings, and that's been great. He's participated in this as a builder in this company, and it's all good. Then they have the company gala, the dinner that follows the convention. And at this dinner, he enjoys himself. There's a lot of repartee and table talk and fine feasting, and gets back to his hotel room, begins to self-examine, as is his discipline. And as he begins to think over the course of the day, he begins to finally sift his behavior and where he was during the day. And he finds there are certain places where he was not with God during that day. So he thinks about what they were. He remembers well. He was not too careful at dinner because the portions were so massive. There's huge spread in Vegas, this massive, table and all the excess there. And the plates were big and the spoons were big. And he ended up trying to clear off his plate and eat too much. So he's like, I ate way too much at dinner. And then he has to confess that he did drink too much too. I mean, somebody kept filling his glass. It was easy to do. There were more toasts, but he's gone past the point. I mean, it's one thing to drink wine that makes glad the hearts of men. It's another to drink too much, and he's crossed over that line. And that comes to him as he reflects on the day. Yeah, I've eaten too much. I drank too much. If he's honest with himself, he has to recognize that he wasn't careful with his eyes. They kind of drifted over to the plunging neckline of the woman's dress across the table, and he let his eyes rest on her to the point where she was no longer a human. He was beginning to lust. And he caught himself, but it was again, it was past the point. He wasn't looking at her in the right way, and he had to admit that. Of course, you know, that's what it's like. And no, he can't find justification for it. He did it. It was wrong. And then he thinks to himself, well, there was that other thing I did. And it was all in the conviviality of the table, but he kind of, with his tongue loosed a lot with the wine, you know, he said some things about the guy sitting next to him which were not charitable. In fact, they were born of malice. This is an up-and-comer in the company that gets on his nerves. He can never seem to communicate with the guy. He can't find the right channel. If you send, you know, forget leaving a voicemail. You send a text to this guy, you may not ever get a response. This kid goes dark, you know, for 2 days. Emails, you know, are confusing, and it looks like the guy never reads his email and answers back. It's hard to find a time to get with. It seems like, in his perception, the co-worker is a bit passive-aggressive. He's never confronted him about this, but it's irked him for quite a while. And at the dinner, there was a choice moment where he was able to cut him down a bit, everybody laughed. It was so funny. But it was at the kid's expense. And now he's even calling the kid. Now he's recognizing that that was born of malice, not of love. So what is the man to do? If he looks over his day and he finds that he has sinned by being tempted by gluttony, by lust, by pride, by his own arrogance, and in malice he has not been charitable toward a coworker, what is he to do? Well, God gave us the answer when he sent Jesus Christ. When the paralytic was paralyzed, right? Jesus said, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And then he said to those who were thinking in their hearts, "Ooh, this man blasphemes. He says he can forgive sins." He said, "Tell me what's easier, to say to this man, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the paralytic, "Stand up, take up thy bed and walk." And the man stood up and walked out of there. The Son of Man came that we might be delivered of our sins, that we might be inflamed with the fire of love and burn in a pure way and brightly to the glory of God. And that fountain of forgiveness was opened up by Christ on the cross and now flows out that we might make our robes white in the blood of the Lamb like the saints on high. And so here is the opportunity for the man to make his confession, right? To simply admit the wrong that he has done, to thank God the Holy Spirit that he has even shown him these things, that he has the ability to recognize where he's off the mark, is God-given. That's the Holy Spirit vivifying his heart and showing him the right way. Let him give God thanks for that. Let him confess his sins. "Yes, Lord, I have strayed like a lost sheep. I have done those things that I ought not to have done. I have left undone those things that I ought to have done." And ask for forgiveness. Let him receive it with a glad heart, because tomorrow's another day, and he has another opportunity when he rises up to hit the mark now and to do the right. And so this would be the self-examination, confession, receiving absolution, the forgiveness of God, and then pressing on to the kingdom. And all this would be these layers of conversion, that all of his heart would be given to the glory of God. All of his being would be consecrated in the divine service. Someone who recognizes that to do these things, that just flows from loving God. And if we recognize that we're off the mark, it's not to, you know, be ashamed or afraid that we're, you know, that we're not as virtuous as some and in comparison to others. No, it's to recognize that we're coming outside of the range of God's love and to come back in. That he may dwell in us and we in him. Now, if a man is convicted of his sin, say this man is convicted in the evening on self-examination, he goes, "You know what? That kid deserves it. You know, and he remains in his malice toward him." That would be grieving the Holy Spirit. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. If he shows us that we were off the mark, we're to cooperate with his grace, come into a place of confession, receive absolution, and then move on. recognize that even in the smallest degree, our failure of love has a consequence. It puts us on the wrong side of that curve of God's redeeming work. And there are consequences that we may not even know, that tend toward the darkness and not toward the light. And so we come out of that into the newness of life that God will give us ever anew as we live each day to his glory. That we, like the paralytic, may be unbound, lifted up, and walk again. And so may we all pursue that in our lives. The ever-increasing appeal and call to holiness, that we may be fully liberated and released to do the work of God in this world and to enjoy the great freedom of holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.